Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday news dumps are done so that no one talks about something. That's why it's done. So without getting into the political reasons, obviously we had the Epstein email dump from Friday, in which there were 3,000 emails. If you were listening to this radio station, you just heard that Al Dukes was in the Epstein emails. Now, there are different levels to it. There's a tweet being mentioned in the Epstein emails, which is the case of Al Dukes and Mike Francesa, and that is, you know, shrapnel, yes, to say the least.
Because they both work at WFAN.
Yes. And the disgusting pig known as Jeffrey Epstein apparently listened or followed WFAN. Then there's you being mentioned for, you know, reasons that don't feel crazy or feel scandalous, like Russell Wilson may be buying a plane, right? Or someone's buying a Geno Smith jersey. And then there are the mentions that change your reputation. And so this commissioner, Roger Goodell, got a freebie this weekend. Because all weekend long, very few people reported on the fact that a minority owner of the New York football giant, Steve Tisch, was mentioned prominently in these Epstein emails. And unlike the case with Al Dukes or the case of Russell Wilson, there are things in that that will sully a reputation and could be far worse than we even realize. I didn't see Adam Schefter tweet about it this weekend. I didn't see Ian Rappaport tweeted about it this weekend. So when Roger Goodell meets the media in a few hours for his State of the Union, State of the League speech, I don't even know how many people are going to ask questions. But I think it's fair for us to ask questions and wonder to this commissioner in this league, what are you going to do? Obviously, we don't have all the information for those that have read the emails or heard about them from Friday's news dump. We don't know everything. We don't know if this man was ever on the island. He denies that. We don't know if there was ever any underage women he was with. We have no idea. He denies that. But there are questions. And to me, it is on the league to at least try to answer those questions and not just brush it aside. But for the last 48 hours, quite frankly, it has been brushed aside.
Mm-hmm.
So what is Roger Goodell going to do? What should he do?
Well,
what
can he do? He has a lot of questions he's going to be asked. One is about Steve Tisch, who you were alluding to, the minority owner for the New York Giants. The fact that there were no black head coaches hired out of the 10 openings.
He will be asked about that.
There will be a lot of questions around those things, but specifically to Steve Tisch. I've known the Tisch family forever. Bob Tisch was a mentor, Steve's dad, when I was in the city. I lived in Upper East Side. He was at the Regency, and he took care of me, did a lot of different things that helped further my life and my career. And so I've known John, his brother, and Steve for most of my professional life. Now, the context here is that Steve Tisch, who was twice divorced, separated from his second wife, Jamie, in 06, I believe, or 07. And these emails, these solicitations, so to speak, to Jeffrey Epstein were about 6 years later, 6 or 7 years later, looking for whatever. Female acquaintances. Now, there is no crime right now that we know about. And so we have to give Steve Tisch the benefit of the doubt. But there is a policy that that the NFL has penalized or at least handed down punishment for players, for other executives over the years because the reputation of the shield, the NFL brand,
yes,
is the most important thing
absolutely
to the NFL. And so there likely will be a repercussion. What it's going to be, I don't know. Because I don't think that the NFL, 13 years hence, is going to do an investigation of what Steve Tisch's relationship was with Jeffrey Epstein. And I don't know if there's any evidence. And again, all these things that we're talking around but not really accusing him of are alleged. Like, we have no idea what this really means. But the fact that it was dumped on Friday, I think, was on purpose, not because of the Steve Tisch stuff.
No,
who cares?
No, he's a small part. He's a big part for us because we do a sports talk radio station.
Right, it was because of the hundreds of other politicians and world executives and businessmen, some of whom we all know very well,
yes,
were also included in this. But local to us, the only one that makes any sense to dig into is Steve Tisch.
Yeah.
And so it's local to the NFL headquarters as well. And so I'm sure there will be something, but it's very nuanced and specific what Roger Goodell is going to have to do when he addresses Steve Tisch and the Giants family. The bigger part here, the bigger story, at least for me, for someone who considers the Giants like family, is what does the Mara family do?
That's another great question. Yes.
What does it mean to them? Because they are the epitome of family and faith, and obviously football is a distant third. And John Mara is going through a tough time right now. And so the last thing you need or want is some ridiculous distraction about a Jeffrey Epstein connection for your co-owner.
Those emails do not confirm there was a crime.
Yes.
But here's what I do know on a very basic level. And this is where you talk about protecting the shield or protecting the Giant logo and shield. Jeffrey Epstein was convicted in 2008 of procuring a child for prostitution. Mm-hmm. He was registered as a level 3 sex offender in 2010. He was a creep.
Right.
And everybody knew that. These emails are from 2012. These emails are from 2013. So even if I take Mr. Tisch's word that there were no crimes, mm-hmm. that he didn't go to the island, that it was just merely Jeffrey innocently setting him up with women, not workers or however, here's what I know. He was communicating with someone that he had to know was a complete creep. Right. While that's not a crime, and no one's saying he should go to prison, if you are the commissioner, you have every right to say, I don't want that associated with my league. John Mara, great point. You have every right to say, I don't know if I want you part of my ownership. Because, again, even assuming there's no crime, because I'm going to take him at his word, even though a lot of things in the statement are odd, like we talked about movies. Who gives a crap if you talked about movies? There are emails about you talking about women.
Right.
I mean, so you could tell me all day you're talking about movies, you're talking about that doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Like, why would that even be in a statement? But what I know on the most basic level is that I find it really, really hard to believe that he and others didn't know Jeffrey Epstein was a complete, utter creep when they were communicating in 2013.
Yeah.
And the NFL is not, they're not putting anybody in prison. But I've seen it before. I've seen pressure campaigns by the NFL to say, we're getting rid of Jerry Richardson, owner of the Carolina Panthers.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
We're pressurizing Daniel Snyder to get rid of it. Now, I kind of equate this to impeachment and removal. No president's ever been removed, right? Mm-hmm. They've been impeached. They've never been removed. And you want to know why? Because Richard Nixon knew he was going to be removed. And so Richard Nixon said, I'm going to resign before this happens.
Right.
The reason Jerry Richardson sold his team is because he knew he was going to be removed. And the NFL does have a policy where with a two-thirds vote, they can remove an owner.
Right.
So even though it's never happened, I would argue that the pressure on Jerry Richardson and eventual pressure on Daniel Snyder, they would have been removed. Mm. So that is a tool that Roger Goodell, if he has the guts, and I quite frankly don't think he does, he could try to use that tool and go to his fellow NFL owners and say, hey, there's enough, even if it isn't a crime, there's enough to say we don't want to be associated with him. Is he going to do that? And should he do that?
Yeah. I mean, the challenge, though, is that when you think about the Giants and Giants ownership, do you think about the Tishes?
No.
Exactly. You think about the Maras.
Correct.
You think about Wellington and his father before him. You think about the Mara family. The Tishes are obviously, or were, 50% owners of the New York Giants. Now they're both 45% owners of the Giants because of the Koch family. Julia Koch, who came in and bought 10% of the organization. And so I think what you're saying makes sense if it was Daniel Snyder. If it is Richardson down in Carolina, when you think about the Giants, you're not immediately associating the Tisch family. We are because we're familiar with them. We know the Lowe's Corporation. We know what the Tishes are about here in New York. But outside of New York, I think it's why it's not as big of a story as we'll want to make it. And so the NFL has to weigh that.
Yeah,
and I think Roger Goodell has to weigh that. Because are we impugning the Maras because of the Tishes?
I'm not impugning the Maras.
That's not. But when you're saying it's a knock on the Giants brand, that's exactly what you're doing. And so it's unfair to the Mara family, who is beyond reproach.
But that's my point. See, when I say it makes the Giants look a certain way, I don't even mean Goodell. For Goodell, it's the league, it's the shield. For the Giants, it's the Mara family. Do they want to be associated with this?
That's the bigger issue.
Absolutely.
And forget what Roger said.
But I don't think they can do anything about it, right?
Because Roger works for the owners.
Right.
Like we misconstrue what this relationship is. Roger Goodell, he's like the boss of the league. No, he's not. He works for 32 billionaires.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So his conflict is with the union. It's not with the other owners.
Right.
He works for the owners. That's why he's paid $70 million a year, whatever the heck he's making, because he makes billions of dollars for these gentlemen. Now, they collectively have a say on who they want in their group, right? And so if there becomes outrage from, I don't know, the McCaskey family or I'm trying to think of the other owners. I can't think of the other.
The Johnson family?
Right, the Johnson family.
And Woody was mentioned in these emails, but not in the same way.
You know what I'm talking
that
about.
Tish was.
The Khan family. Yes. Like all of these other owners of these NFL teams saying, we can't be associated with Steve Tisch, who's not even the forward-facing owner of the New York Giants, then Roger Goodell will have to address it.
Yes.
But until that happens, I don't think that they will.
I don't think that they will either. The reason I would want, here's what I would want, all right? I would want Roger Goodell to ask his fellow owners, not his fellow owners, owners.
I'm sure he will.
Right, but I also kind of want to do it publicly. You know, we're both fans of politics. One of the great things about putting a vote on the House floor is I want to see what your vote is.
Right.
I want to see what you got to say about this. I want to see if you're voting for whatever the bill is we're talking about.
Right.
And so according to the NFL Constitution and bylaws, the commissioner could initiate, and then the owners would have to approve, a forced sale for, quote, serious violations. Here's the way it's written. Conduct detrimental to the welfare of the league or professional football, mm-hmm. which can include financial misconduct, personal conduct, or other actions harming the league's reputation. That is so up to interpretation.
It really is.
But if you
want to use it. It basically
means
if we want you out, we'll get you out.
Correct.
If enough of us don't like you, then we're going to find a way to get rid of
basically,
you.
Basically, that's what it says.
Exactly what
and
it says.
And so what I would love to see, and to prove that they're taking this seriously, is, all right, NFL owners, vote. What do you think? And you know what's going to happen? I got a spoiler alert. They won't remove them. They won't. And maybe it's because a lot of names are connected in some loose way.
Well,
maybe it's because they don't want to kick out a buddy of theirs. But if they ever did this vote, this 3/4 majority, which is a way for the commissioner to initiate a vote to remove a fellow owner, they wouldn't get the 24 out of 32 votes. And I think as just an American citizen, I'd love to see everybody put their opinion on record.
Yeah, the other thing, this kind of came up, even though we didn't pay attention to it enough, because it wasn't interesting on this side. It was more interesting on the Daniel Snyder side. That's essentially what Daniel Snyder was threatening. Like, you guys are trying to throw me out.
Yeah.
I know dirt on all of you guys as well.
Right.
And so, all right, you want that public? And look, Steve Tisch is not that kind of guy. He wouldn't ever do that. But it just creates a massive, massive can of worms. And you just don't want that thing open. So I feel like this was released on a Friday.
Oh, of course.
The league hoped, beyond hope, that it wouldn't be a story.
And I think, believe it or not, despite you and I conversing about it, despite Boomer and Gio conversing about it at the beginning of their show, I think the story is basically going away.
Right.
Now, I still think it was important and is important for us to talk about it and at least lay out, hey, these are the options the commissioner has. He's going to meet the media later today. We'll see what happens.
Right.
But there's a difference between my opinion and what I think is going to happen.
Well,
what's going to happen is it's going to go away.
Yeah, but the reason it's interesting to us is because the commissioner is today meeting about the Super Bowl. This is this story about owners of the NFL. And you have to ask it.
Right, but if he wasn't meeting today, it would still be a story, but we wouldn't get any like, hey, what's Roger going to say about it? Because Roger wouldn't have to answer a question about it. And I hope that he gets asked a question about it, because I'll bring it up again. NFL media is not talking about it. NFL Network and ESPN are not talking about it.
Right.
This isn't the lead story on their shows. Adam Schefter didn't tweet about it. And so I do wonder, along with the other really important issues the commissioner has to answer, you talk about the minority coaching resume, which basically was 1 for 10 with Robert Saleh being the one minority to head coaching job. He will be asked about that. I have the fullest of confidence, as he should. I actually don't have a lot of confidence he's going to be peppered with these questions, because there's a lot of people who are either being told or want for it to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's two issues. And the Mara part is so fascinating. If I'm the Mara family, who has a sterling reputation, I don't know what they're thinking today, because they could be thinking, I don't want to be associated with this story. I may know the man and like the man, but I'm reading these emails and I'm seeing, hey, is she a pro or a civilian? Is she a working girl? You know, I'm seeing this. I don't know the full truth, despite denials.
And you don't know if he's asking because he's saying, I don't want the pro. I want the civilian. I want a normal girl who just happens to be pretty and young and whatever.
We have no idea.
We have no idea the context.
But enough is there for us to ask questions, and there's certainly enough there for the Mara family and obviously the commissioner to ask questions. The question is anyone going to ask the questions? Mm. And where is this going? Because my gut tells me it's going away. And obviously, like you said, it wasn't dumped on a Friday because of Steve Tisch. That is, you know, if you're ranking the names on this list in terms of popularity or impact, it's way down the list.
Way, way down the
list. It's big for us because it's sports and it's a local owner. And it's not a local owner who owns 1% of the team. If I'm not mistaken, he owns 40% of the team,
45% of the
team. That's a lot.
Right.
That's a damn lot.
Yeah.
And so to this commissioner, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to let it go away? And trust me, everyone will follow. We'll start talking football. We won't care anymore, right? or are you going to address this?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I don't know if it, I'm trying to think of the measure. Like, what's important this week for the NFL? It's the Super Bowl. It's the ads that are being spent. It's the, the coaching hires. It's the draft that's upcoming in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, I should say. This is like way down the list. It really, honest with you.
But should it be?
Should it be? Steve Tisch, who is the, not silent because he isn't, but I'll use it in this regard because we think of the Maras as the owner, not the Tishes. He's the quiet, other owner of the New York Giants.
Yeah.
It's not the main owner.
It's still an owner. It's still
I hear you. You're right. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just wondering what level of import this actually has for the league.
Well, there's a difference between what should have import and what they look at as import. They don't care about this. Like, I'll spoil it. Roger Goodell doesn't care. He wants it to go away.
Of course.
He wants this to never be talked about again, and let's go make a lot of money. We'll talk about TV deals, and we have a Super Bowl. But it is important, and it makes the league look bad. And I think this is another moment in Roger Goodell's time as commissioner where he's going to be tested. And my gut feeling is he's going to fail the test because I don't think anything's going to happen to it.
Yeah.
But I stress again, he does have the authority to ask his owners or the owners, hey, we can vote to remove this guy. And like I said at the top, I know that none of the accusations are actual crimes, but I'll say it again. You knew in 2008 that Jeffrey Epstein was a creep.
Right.
Everybody knew it. You can't tell me that in 2012 and 2013, when he's communicating with this scum, that, I didn't know. I thought he was just a good guy. Well, right. I didn't know.
Right.
That is not true.
But then you open the book to say, well, what are you talking to this guy?
Open it.
When was Russell Wilson trying to buy a plane from this guy? Like like all of those things. We all knew this. Like everybody, had the inklings of this for years.
I'll tell you this, and I think this is a bipartisan statement. I think most Americans have been asking for years from both administrations, open it all. I don't give a crap who it's going to affect. Anyone who associated with this guy, their name should be out there. And then it's for us to decide and for businesses, private businesses, to decide. Kind of like the NFL. Right. Roger Goodell could decide. I don't want you to be a part of this club.
The Knicks took down LeBron's Lakers 112-100. The win streak is now at 6, Evan Roberts. And before the game, Karl Anthony Towns was also named to the Eastern Conference's All-Star team as a reserve.
Congratulations to Kat. Michael Porter Jr.'s had a better year, but you know what? Kat's on a real NBA team. Michael Porter Jr.'s not. So congratulations to Kat.
A trying NBA team.
Yes.
Not one that is trying to go the other way.
I am very curious, and I'm glad you brought this up, and I'm going to do Sean a favor on two counts. Number one, he doesn't love screening Steve Tisch, Jeffrey Epstein calls.
No.
So I am curious to anybody who went to the Garden last night and dropped the absurd amount of money. You got to see the Knicks win. Mm-hmm. You got to see LeBron do some cool things. Was it worth it?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that all night because it was a good game. I wouldn't say it was a classic game. It was a good game. You saw your team win. But if you drop $1,200 a ticket for what may be, probably not, but may be LeBron James' final game at Madison Square Garden, did you walk out of the Garden last night saying, that was worth it?
Yeah.
Or did you walk out of the Garden saying, why did I do this?
They said, man, I bought Evan's tickets three times removed from him.
That may be the case.
I should have just went to him directly. Look, if you're a Knicks fan, it felt like we're back to where we were pre-NBA Cup. That's what it feels like.
Oh, they're playing great.
The ball movement is back to what we saw at the beginning of the season.
The defense, to me, has been the story.
The defense has obviously been the story. Yep. I mean, the offensive rebound, they dominated the boards. Cat led the way. I mean, it just felt like this team playing with this level of energy and ball movement and unselfishness can beat anybody. And that's what you saw. It wasn't even really about, I guess it was about LeBron, because he does the whole like thing and doubles the salt and whatever up in the air, the chalk up in the air, and it's like, oh, it's LeBron, wow, yay! And then you go get your ass kicked.
But wait, T, why did people spend the money they spent to go to that game?
Maybe it's like,
it's partially LeBron. Maybe, it's mostly LeBron.
Maybe it's a, I don't know, a feel good as a Knicks fan to watch your team beat LeBron's butt.
I'm sure that's a small part of
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
But
know.
You went to see something unique and special.
Right.
And that's what I'm like battling, which is like, okay, you spent the money. You saw LeBron. He showed up. He had that thunderous dunk, which caused Reggie Miller to do weird things to himself as it happened. But was it worth it? And speaking of that, I have to play this clip. This actually pisses me off. And I am clearly not a Knicks fan. I'm an IBO. I tell you like it is. So, for example, before the Knicks played the Nets on January 21st, I don't know if you guys remember this, but I said very quietly, hey, the Knicks tend to get hot after they demolish the Nets. Yes. It's the trend.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
So I warned everybody. They demolished the Nets, and they've won six in a row, and they look like a championship-caliber team.
Right. It was a get-right game.
I nailed it for you.
It was a get-right game,
but then they followed it up.
Right.
So I'm not happy about this, but I'm watching the NBA on NBC last night, as we all are, those who didn't drop the $1,200 a ticket. And Reggie Miller, on this LeBron dunk, which was it was a fine transition dunk, whatever. I think it was an alley-oop, if memory serves correct. And Reggie Miller had a reaction that, to me, did not fit the moment. Take a listen if you missed this from last night.
Carmelo Arabia knocking away, now crunching down. Numbers for Lakers. LeBron!
Oh, yes! The king has arrived in the Mecca.
Dude.
The king has arrived in the Mecca.
I mean, stop. The king has arrived in the Mecca? Like, what was that? And then there was video of his reaction. And what was great about the video is there's this one guy sitting behind Reggie, and he was by himself because it was early third quarter, so everybody else was still hobnobbing. And this guy looks over at Reggie and has this inquisitive look of, what are you doing? Are you molesting Jamal Crawford right now because you're so excited about a LeBron dunk?
Right.
Like, dude, it wasn't that big of a deal. And I'm watching this like, I'm not even a Knick fan. I was disgusted by this.
I've never seen a 40-year-old dunk like that. It was amazing.
Like, dude.
Yeah, but that's just Reggie.
I know, but he...
It's just Reggie. I mean, what can you do? I mean, honestly.
Not put him on Knicks games. I solved it. He shouldn't be doing Knicks games. He walks around like he owned the Knicks, like he's the Knicks' daddies, which isn't even factually true. He had some great moments against the Knicks, keyword moments, but he didn't beat the Knicks all the time. And then he clearly, like, I remember playing this last year after the Tyrese Halliburton play, and that's a big moment, I understand. He was laughing, he was freaking out, like it was the greatest thing he'd ever seen. And I will understand that more because it was an incredible comeback. But in the case of last night, okay, it's a dunk. It's right. Whatever. The king is at throne! And then, and I didn't even pull this audio because it was too much, like right after OG hit a three, and he was like, yep, yeah, OG hit a three. He's like so matter of fact about it. I mean, just come on, get over yourself.
Right. Be professional.
Now, one other thing.
I'm looking at the video. John Schmelk.
Yes. Schmelk put it down, too, of the guy.
Post. He's leaning on him. Like, what are you doing,
bro? Reggie's freaking out on Jamal Crawford, and the guy behind him is just looking like, what are you doing? Now, one other thing, and we'll get to your phone calls. So, Giannis Antetokounmpo is still out there. The trade deadline is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, I wonder if this is going to change Knicks fans' opinions on trading for Giannis because of how well they've played. I can't speak for every Knicks fan, but here's Wendy Brian Windhorst this morning on ESPN answering the question of, hey, are the Knicks still aggressively going to go after Giannis and make a big, big offer considering how well they're playing?
They are not showing that aggression to get Giannis right now, and I think that's because they like this team. They don't think the Eastern Conference is a giant mountain to climb, and while this team has flaws, the entire East is limited in some capacity.
How about that?
I mean, he's right. I mean, you can see this because before the NBA Cup, did we think that the Knicks needed Giannis in order to win a championship?
No, it
would have been inconvenient.
Yes.
But with the way that Mike Brown was using some of these younger players and, you know, getting them involved, they were contributing. And it's like, man, they could go 12 deep with how good these guys are playing. It almost felt like, yeah, Giannis would be good, but kind of an unnecessary, just added weight to help you try to get over that hump that the Knicks have continually kind of got stuck on, whether it's in the championship round or the one before. And so I feel like when they're playing their best, as we saw against the Lakers and really the last four or five games, do you really need Giannis? And does he disrupt, as you say?
He does disrupt.
Their chemistry, and now you got to relearn how to play with a different big in a different way who's not Cat. Like it feels more daunting only because they're playing good basketball right now.
But I agree with everything you say, and we've talked about the risks of bringing him in. The part I would disagree with is using a recent winning streak as a reason not to do
but
it.
It's
just
not,
like you shouldn't use a recent losing streak.
But I'm not using it as a winning streak. It's reaffirmation Like, when I say the Nets game was a get-right game, like, you're playing like crap. You play the Nets, you win by 50 or whatever the heck.
Just like the Pistons.
Right. Yesterday. It was like, all right, now we've refound ourselves. This is who we are.
Right.
Thank you, Nets. We can go play the rest of the season this way. Like, they needed the get-right game. And the Nets, unfortunately, were the one in the way who ended up getting them back on the path that we saw before the Cup. And so now it's like, Giannis would be cool. We don't need him.
Right, right. And the East is flawed, especially with the news that came out a week ago that really hasn't garnered that much attention of the report that Jason Tatum doesn't plan on returning.
Right.
Which to me is a monstrous story.
Right.
Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019 is the telephone number. Let's kick it off with Ryan in Cranford, New Jersey. What's going on, Ryan?
What's up? Hey, all right, just give me like 2 minutes here, and then I'll let you answer. Maybe about 15 years ago, I had a friend who had a friend who I ended up finding out was actually a pedophile. This was found out. He was arrested. He was part of a sting.
Wow.
As soon as I found that out, stopped being friends with that friend because you associate with someone who is now a criminal. Tish, how is he any different? He knew he was a criminal, and he's still associating. And Teak, all respect to you, bud, but I think you're kind of looking at it from a little bit of a clouded lens.
Of course it's clouded. I told you it was clouded, dude.
I think he admitted that.
You know? But you're also on WFAN putting that out there. And I'm getting heated a little bit because this one is a real hot-button issue. We all know that. Nothing is going to change with any of this unless you start taking these big people out for doing things that are wrong. So if we keep acting like it's not a big deal, Goodell, whoever else, acts like, yeah, don't worry about it. Super Bowl week.
So what did he do wrong, Ryan?
What he did wrong was fraternize with a known criminal. Don't do that. That's what you don't do. I don't care who you are, how much money you have, what kind of pull you got. Don't do it.
So did Woody. So did a bunch of other executives.
Get him out.
So did the head of
that's where
tons of tech companies. So did a lot of people.
That's where things are complicated because.
So did politicians. So did your president, by the way. Like, what do we. Like, think about what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And you're getting mad at me? Chill out, dude. Calm down. Pump your damn brakes, Ryan. I've known the Tishes for a long time. I've known the Maris for a long time. They are close friends of mine. Of course I'm going to have a clouded lens, and I'm going to give them, because they are my friends, the benefit of the doubt. Until proven otherwise, that's what's afforded when you're a friendship. I don't know who your close friend was that was a pedophile, but clearly you didn't know him close enough to know that if you didn't know he was a pedophile. So this is completely different. Steve Tisch is not a pedophile. Right, we're talking
nor is he
about,
being accused of that.
Exactly. We're talking about two very different things. So before you call us and get really emotionally heated, check yourself. Check what you're actually mad about. All right? Don't bring it out on me or whoever. Just we're creating a conversation. We're not here to create, I don't know, you're putting it on WFAN that you know Steve Tisch. Of course I know Steve Tisch. What the hell are you talking about, dude?
The other thing that's emotional is, and we open the show with this, and it's kind of half a joke because if you're just tuning in, at the very end of Boomer and Geo, it was discovered that Al Dukes' name is sort of in the Epstein files. It is the most indirect thing in the world. Jeffrey Epstein received an email about who to follow or people he was following, and it included WFAN, and there was an Al Dukes tweet about the Tournament of Babes on the old Boomer and Carton show. So that's one level. That's a shrapnel, there's no connection level. As of right now, as of this moment, because things can change, Teak, as we all know, Woody Johnson's connection with Jeffrey Epstein is far different than the connection that's in these emails with Mr. Tisch. It's just different. Right. So we can't just say, I don't care what the connection is.
Right.
You're gone. You can't go that route.
Right.
What I'm saying about Tisch specifically is that these emails, confirmed emails from 2012, 2013, which he admitted, he denied wrongdoing, but said, I communicated with him, was done after it was well known of Jeffrey Epstein's past.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is, hey, if I'm Roger Goodell, I can't put the guy in prison, nor is there any reason to put him in prison as of right now, but I don't know if I want him associated with my league. That's a right that the league has. And that's far different. And so all we can do, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating as an American because this crap's been talked about for years. And what do we still know?
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know everything.
Right.
And you're asking us, as most of us are just good people, what are we supposed to think? I don't know what the hell to think because we don't even have all the information.
Right. We don't. And we have power brokers, including the head of our country, who are associated with this same guy. So we have to really, really think about the reaction that you have when you talk about the interactions that people have had with Jeffrey Epstein.
The only thing I know in relation to the NFL and what they can do is that they have a system in place where if the commissioner wants, he could initiate, hey, should we remove this guy? Obviously, everything's different if we're talking about a politician or we're talking about a businessman.
That's what Congress is for.
Of course. In this case, here's all I know is that even though it's never been used in terms of removing an owner, the league could initiate that. But what I also know is the league won't do it.
Right.
So we can talk about it because it's good to know what the league is capable of doing or what they're able to do or what levers of power they have. But I just know Roger Goodell isn't going to sit there today and say, yeah, I'm going to ask the owners. I'm going to vote on it. Like, my guess is...
It'll be down the line.
Yeah, it'll be way down the line. My guess is I don't even think he's going to commit to an investigation. I think he's going to be like, yeah, I don't know. Man, those emails came out. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Maybe there'll be another news dump in a month.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow Nerd while it's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll find out. And then he's whispering, I just hope my name isn't associated with this.
Right.
Because I'm sure every power broker in America that's had any association with this scum, Jeffrey Epstein, is probably at night thinking, oh my God, I hope I'm not connected.
Yeah. And a lot of people are.
Yeah, they are. Andrew Kaplan, who does a great job here, has been searching the Epstein files. And what he's trying to do is make sure that none of us are in the Epstein files. So there was one email that involved a Mr. Barber, and we went through it, and we have cleared you. It wasn't you.
It was Rondé. No, it definitely wasn't Rondé.
Don't even joke.
I know.
Let's go to Frank and Syosset. What's up, Frank?
Yeah, hi, guys. Good morning. Three quick statements. The questions that come to mind immediately with me is not to place any judgment. I give him the benefit of the doubt. I root for the Giants. I love the Giants for many years. But the immediate questions that came to my mind, and both of you touched on it, is the first question is, the biggest one is, why now? Why now did this come out? And then the second question that came to my mind is somebody trying to smear his reputation? And the third question is, do the Tishes and the Maras get along? And does this have anything to do with Wellington Mara's illness? Is this some kind of a power trip?
John Maras. I don't think it's related at all. This came out because the DOJ had a deadline of a week ago, maybe it was more than a week ago, to release all of the Epstein files. And they missed the deadline. And so they've hardly been trying to get it released. And in fact, they did release it on Friday, as we all know. Heavily controversial because there were a lot of lewd images of females, some of them probably underage, with their faces showing. And so the release of the files was very poorly handled by our Department of Justice. And it, you know, as news organizations or the internet or whoever started combing through all these things, they found interesting names. And one of them was Steve Tisch. Another was Woody Johnson. Another was, I can't even think of the business owners that are a part of it. But there was a lot of them who we hadn't previously known before. The reason it became a big story here was because Steve Tisch owns the New York Giants.
That's right.
That's it.
And that is not, to your point, we've talked about this, a big story nationally. There's a much bigger name. Bill Gates has talked about a heck of a lot more.
That's right.
So it's big because of the association to sports and a New York football team. But I've heard a lot of weird questions over the weekend, like, hey, if John Harbaugh knew it, if he's still taking the job? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he wanted to coach the New York Giants.
Right.
I don't think he's going to decide because of emails that were exchanged in 2013. He wasn't going to coach the New York Giants. But what we may never know, he probably won't, is, and it's a great question, like, what is going on in that building right now? Like, what does the Mara family think of this? I mean, and I assume that they're disgusted by it.
That's the more interesting point, is forget what the NFL is going to do. What's the Mara family going to do?
I don't think correct me if I'm wrong here, I don't think they can do anything. Like, the NFL, as we talked about, has the power to do that system that we talked about that they're not going to do of removing an owner. Other than the Mara family or the Koch family making an offer to buy that part of the team, they can't force anything.
No.
Right? So it would just be, hey, we're disgusted by this. Hey, well, let's give you $10 billion. Right. Can we buy you?
Yeah. It'd be specifically more 4.5.
Is that is that the number?
I mean, 10% went for a billion.
Damn.
So 45% would be 4.5.
That is incredible.
Right. So.
Well, I'll tell you what I would do. I'd take the money.
Right.
That's what I would do.
Right.
Let's go to Jim in Westfield, New Jersey. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Jim?
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. Good.
This is a complicated issue. You got what used to be a 50-50 partnership, and these people have been voting in lockstep as a family unit forever.
Yeah, that's
true.
And
now they sold 10%, and that's okay, and people pay full value for this 10% because they're looking at the future. But if you force a 45% owner to sell at these prices, the buyer is going to want his value, and he's going to want his vote. And at 45, you could combine with that 10% to get 55.
Yeah, but
and voted the Maras out of existence forcing the sale of that. The Maras don't have that money. They can't buy that. I doubt the Maras can buy out, just write a check for $4.5 million.
No,
so you're looking at a stranger.
No, you're right, and I don't think that's going to ever happen. And I think the hardest thing about buying an NFL franchise is getting league approval. Remember, this whole thing prior to Julia Koch coming in and buying that 10%, it was like a 6, 7, 8 month process that, you know, everyone got connected to. Remember, Eli Manning was going to buy the 10%, and then Strahan was involved with one of the groups, and some private equity firms, because the values of franchises have grown so exponentially over the last decade that individuals just don't have that kind of money. The Koch family does, but most individuals can't just say, oh, I'll stroke a check for $1 billion. Like, who does that? And so private equity starts to get involved. And so unless it's an approved buyer, what you were just alluding to, Jim, it's just not going to happen. It won't happen that way. It'll be a much smaller, I'm assuming, sell-off of pieces.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation, but my prediction is this is all for naught because nothing's going to happen. The commissioner will get one softball question about it today. He'll say nothing, and then the story's going to go away.
Right.
I mean, that's just the reality. That's just the truth. Let's go to Brandon in Sparta. Hey, Brandon.
Hello? Yo, hey, guys.
What's up, man?
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, so I think I was thinking about trading Mikal Bridges to the Portland Trailblazers. Now, probably throwing in Deuce and getting Drew Holiday. He's a solid defender. He's a guard. We need it. I mean, Mikal Bridges is soft. That's a being honest. He's soft. He's what? He has just one free throw.
But he's not that bad in the postseason, right?
Well, I mean, he was epic last year in the end of the Boston series. Yeah. So was Drew Holiday, though. He's a two-time NBA champion.
I just don't see Mikal Bridges taking us all the way.
Here's the problem. And what I appreciate is that's a realistic trait.
Yeah.
Like, we've heard the connection that the Trailblazers have towards interest in Mikal Bridges. We've heard the Knicks' interest in Drew Holiday. It feels like the Knicks' connection to Drew is more about Giannis than anything else.
Yeah. Like, and if you're not going to continue to pursue Giannis, does it make sense to swap Drew versus Mikal Bridges?
Let's stick right there. Forget Deuce McBride for a second. Are you flipping Mikal Bridges, who is in the prime of his career? And yes, we could talk about his quote-unquote softness or maybe his overratedness defensively as a one-on-one defender,
right,
or the fact he doesn't get to the free throw line. Are you trading Mikal Bridges for a 35-year-old?
No.
Drew Holiday?
No. And he's still a really good defender.
He is.
And I guess that's what you would value, but he's not Mikal Bridges.
He's still an elite level defender, but he's also not the same player he was 3 years ago in Milwaukee.
Right.
Like, he's an older player. He's also a player that was on minutes restrictions earlier this season because, wait for it, a calf issue. Mm. Like, that just feels, that does not feel like a smart move. And I'm not even bringing up the assets you gave up to get Mikal Bridges because I think that's gone now.
Right.
You have to make decisions based on the player and your roster, and you shouldn't look backwards. But I'm looking forwards. Drew Holiday is going to be 36 in June.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the Knicks win an NBA title, Drew Holiday will be a 36-year-old on the parade float.
Right.
I just can't make that trade.
No.
Despite any issue you want to bring up involving Mikal Bridges.
I mean, the only reason it was tolerable to even think about was because you were also going to get Giannis. But if now that's not necessarily in the works, then what would be the point?
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't a point.
Today is, you know, we've been doing this show, me, you, and Sean, and obviously Loogie for a long time. This is Sean Morash's worst day at work. And I'll explain to you very quickly why. Sean Morash has to screen phone calls. It's a part of his job here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done a great job of it. And it doesn't interfere with his microphone time or his ability to play clips. But he knew today when I told him, I said, yeah, we're going to start with Jeffrey Epstein and Steve Tisch. Sean's like, okay, you know, hopefully we move on because screening calls are going to be really difficult. And I am watching Sean on the other side of the glass. And so far, he's done a great job screening calls. You know, he's done a fine job. Sean is banging the phone against his forehead. So I can only imagine the discussions he's having off air right now. But Sean looks like he needs a vacation, and it's a Monday, and we're only an hour into the work week.
I got some gin in the office. You need it.
Dude, get me there ASAP. I have never rooted personally for a show to end quicker in my life.
What is the issue? Like, what people are saying to you?
Yeah,
I'm confused.
It's that, look, and obviously people have the right to voice their opinion, but I'm getting yelled at now because everybody disagrees with what you guys opened the show with, which you guys said nothing wrong, and I just know what the next 4 hours become if I put every single one of these people on.
I'll argue with people. I don't care.
Okay, and that's fine.
Stand by anything I say.
And I would just ask everybody who really, this is the fan, you want to voice your opinion, and think about this before you dial this phone for the next 3 hours. Is this really how you want to start your Super Bowl week?
Nobody's talking about the game.
Right.
Nobody
right.
will talk about the game until, I don't know, Friday maybe.
Thursday.
I guess we'll do the Evan and Tiki player to watch.
Of course. I do have a Super Bowl.
Brought to you by Amazon Hub Delivery.
I do have a Super Bowl related topic I wrote down because I was thinking about it over the weekend. And that was, I was going to make the argument that in my time as a sports fan, and I believe this, I was writing it down, most appealing Super Bowl to least appealing Super Bowl, this is the least appealing Super Bowl in my lifetime.
I love it. That was my...
Because it's personal. Your personal, animus towards...
I don't know if it's...
The Patriots and then the Sam Darnold thing.
You know what? Hold that thought.
Yup.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.